I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. This is a pre-recorded program. I happen to be in the apartment of my dear friends, John and Chris Phillips. I'm here because they have a friend and colleague who is visiting from Costa Rica. I wanted to get an opportunity to speak with her, Ankar Villa Garcia from the Jaguar Foundation. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, Karen. Thank you so much for inviting me this afternoon. And yes, I'm coming from Costa Rica, from the Jaguar Rescue Center in the Caribbean South.
I'm very excited. I know nothing about this foundation and I know nothing about you. So I'm going to learn a lot along with my listeners and I can't wait to get started. So let's get started. Where were you born?
I born in Barcelona, actually.
And that's where you studied biology?
And I studied biology there, yes.
Right. So you were in Barcelona and somewhere along the way you fell in love with animals.
I fell in love with animals since I born. So
when you were born.
I was working in Barcelona Zoo for 8 years. So I had the pleasure to handle gorillas, mostly chimpanzees and apes. Always, they have been my passion, primates. And I work with the snowflake that has been the most famous gorilla in the world.
That's an albino.
Albino gorilla in Barcelona Zoo, yes. But wow. I've been thinking always that there were a way to do things a little bit different, you know.
How were the conditions in that zoo? Zoos, I think of them like prisons.
Always there are different feelings, even for me, different feelings because, you know, I don't want to talk so bad about the politicians, but the directors, politicians, they decide the life of the animals independent a little bit of the economies or if the animal is fancy or is not fancy. But people that is working directly with the animals, they are really care about them. They are really, really care. So my 8 years there, I meet so beautiful keepers, animal keepers and colleagues that we try to do our best because the animals, they are already there, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's difficult, yeah.
All right. So you worked at the zoo and you studied in Barcelona. And how did you get to Costa Rica?
Well, I took a plane. So my first holidays, after a long time, so I got a friend that said to me, you have to go to Costa Rica. There are a lot of animals. Costa Rica has the 5% of biodiversity in all the entire world.
5% of 5%, all the biodiversity, yes. In all the world.
And it's located mostly in Puerto Viejo, so in the Talamanca side, in the Caribbean coast. So I thought, oh my God, I have to go and I want to study the howler monkeys. And so I arrived there and I fall in love immediately to that place, and I fall in love with Sandro, that has been my husband for 15 years.
He's from Costa Rica.
He was actually from Italy.
Oh.
And both were working in Barcelona Zoo, but in a different areas, and we never met there.
Wow.
So we met each other in Costa Rica.
Oh, the world, the universe wanted you to meet somehow.
Yes, because we were a perfect team for Runa Rescue Center. He was an herpetologist. He worked with reptiles and snakes, was very passionate about it. My passion is mostly mammals and primates, so yeah.
So you're there in Costa Rica. I have to admit that I have never been to the Caribbean side. What's the right way to say that?
Caribbean coast, Caribbean side, yes.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time on the Pacific side, which I love, but now you tell me it's so much nicer,
yes.
On the Caribbean coast.
Yeah, because we're still there. We have rainforest, the authentic primary forest. Primary forest means that never has been touched for humans, so it's still authentic, you know, like never has been touched.
We don't have a lot of primary forests on the planet.
No, we don't have it.
Yeah, and when people do all kinds of calculations about the cause of climate change and all the deforestation, they don't take into consideration a lot of the deforestation that happened a long time ago.
Yes,
which makes a difference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you decided to create this foundation.
Yeah, we moved both together after 3 years. We moved to Costa Rica. And while everybody knew about our jobs in Europe, that we were passionate for animals, It was my dream to have a rescue center, rescue all the animals. Since I was a child, I've been rescued little cats and birds and dogs and everything. So, yeah, my dream came through. Sometimes you need to take care of your wishes. Because,
careful what you wish
yeah,
for.
Yeah, now I have 180 animals, and we save like at least 2 animals every day. So it's been crazy. But all start really step by step, so kind of slowly. But it's increasing more or less 5% per year, the quantity of animals that we got every year.
Yes. So you named it the Jaguar Foundation, and John was telling me you don't have jaguars at the sanctuary
right now,
but why did it start that
way? Well, the foundation actually is not Jaguar. So the Jaguar Rescue Center is the center.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation is La Ceiba, Primary Forest Foundation.
Okay.
Because it's the place where we release, and it's the place that rainforest, that primary forest, that we want to save, that we want to keep. And it's why the foundation is the forest. Well, Jaguar Rescue Center, because one of the first animals was a jaguar, a baby jaguar. So just die in a couple of days, poisoned probably. And well, was so sad. So was, you know, I realized in that moment that I had to fight a lot. And I was screaming and crying for a lot of days. And my husband was like, just, it's not going to be the last one that you will have to see. And well, I think the spirit of this animal is every day, still every day in my center. Any animal, even a tiny bird, a tiny colibri or wherever that is coming, we try to do our best to save it.
Are there a lot of jaguars in Costa Rica
or
anywhere?
Yes, yes. Actually, in Tortuguero, in the north of the Caribbean, very close to my home, I think this year there were like 33. And it's kind of not easy. But it's getting more easy to see them at the beach eating turtles in the morning very early. Yes.
What are some of the difficulties and dangers that animals are experiencing where you've been motivated to save? What are you saving them from?
I'm saving from electrocutions.
Oh, okay. Let's stop there. What's that?
Electrocutions means that the animal get burned.
From what?
From the power lines. From the wires, from the electricity.
Are these just power lines to provide electricity to people's
yes.
homes and businesses?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that is one of the most common problems.
Is it
mostly.
Because they're not built well or protected
exactly.
well?
They are not protected. They are not isolated. So they're exposed. And animals confuse the wires with branches. And
wow.
they walk. You see a lot of sloths, mostly monkeys, opossums. Kinkajous, a lot of squirrels, even birds get burned.
Huh. And
it's
people aren't
horrible.
Affected? People don't get burned either?
There are accidents, yeah, really. No,
mm-hmm.
no, there are accidents, it's not a joke. Because they are, it's so, you know, Costa Rica is kind of a third world too. So it's not like a poor, poor country. Like, I don't know, there are other countries, of course, in the world. And everybody say that Costa
like
Rica
Nicaragua
is the richest.
Like Nicaragua and El Salvador.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Costa Rica is
yeah, Costa Rica is the
more
richest.
Developed.
Yeah, more developed.
Mm-hmm.
The richest country in Central America. And it's considered like European country and whatever. But it's not true in a lot of different areas. You know, like, for example, the wires of the electricity, it is completely crazy how they're exposed everywhere.
Well, I've never heard of this, but I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. Because I have property on the Pacific side. It's not developed. And when people talk about building things and bringing electricity to the spot, it sounds just very haphazard and not
yeah.
done in a careful,
yeah.
precise, and protected way.
Exactly. Now we are working super, super fine with ICE company,
mm-hmm.
the electrical
ICE.
Company.
Yeah.
It's called ICE.
ICE.
Yeah. We are working, we've been working super good, but was a big fight for 10 years, so I had to fight a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But now finally, we are in peace and we are working. So we provide to them the materials because they say that they don't have the money. So Jaguar Rescue Center is buying the things that they need for protect the wires and the transformers.
Mm.
So every transformer costs like $300. And the wires more or less is like another 300 or so. So we have a campaign in our webpage that people can do donations that goes directly to do that, you know. And we have like a map where we change in green all the areas around this area that they are already changed and they are protected.
I'm just surprised about all of this, and I'm wondering about the standards and the protocol. So maybe in some areas, when they put up electrical lines, they're more careful than in other areas?
Yes, definitely. Limón, the place where I'm living, is the poorest area of all Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And you know how that works.
Yeah.
So the money and the materials goes to another areas. So finally I decide that, okay, I will pay for that. I will pay all is necessary for don't see more animals burn in the way that I have to see it. That is, well.
Thank you for that. I have, as I mentioned, my own experience with my property on the Pacific side, and it's in a very undeveloped area. And there are some roads that are called public roads. That means the government is supposed to maintain them and support them, but they're not paved, and they're just pressed rock, and some are just dirt roads. And there was one that went alongside the property. We decided to, I'm going to air quote, pave it. Now, we weren't paving it with any kind of asphalt or tar, but we had to pay for the rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
To pave the road, even though it was a public road, not a private road.
See. We have to pay for everything. We have to pay for half our own police. We have to pay if we want that the schools, the kids in the schools have materials sometimes. Mm. We have to pay for, the rocks on the, for everything. So, it's why Costa Rica looks like super modern, but no, it's poor. Or they say that they are poor.
Yes. Okay, so you mentioned electrocution. What else is there that harms the animals?
Oh, well, and I would like to add something that we are trying to change a law, because in don't exist a law that say that you have, in a new construction, the wires needs to be isolated.
Isolated.
Mm-hmm. So we want to change that, at least in the areas that is full of biodiversity, maybe not in the city, but of course in the areas like our area, is very necessary by law.
Okay.
Another problem is dogs and cats. Dogs and cats looks like cute and nice, and I love it, and everybody love it, but not in a place or not with the owners. They arrive to Costa Rica with pit bulls, Rottweilers.
Say that again?
They arrive in Costa Rica with big dogs, you know, like Rottweilers, pit bulls,
like
American Staffords. No, even people that is, tourists that they go there and they want to be residents.
Okay.
And they buy a property and they want to save their property.
Sure.
And they got scared and then,
they have a big dog.
So, and of course, animals, they don't know about borders. They don't know if you have. When they come down from a tree, mostly sloths. They got killed in a hands of a dog. So just before to come to Costa Rica, I had to go rescue a mom, three tortoise sloth that was absolutely destroyed with two big dogs.
Okay, so let's stop a minute. Tell me about a sloth. Where do they live and what do they look like? How big are they?
Well, a sloth, it depends. We have two different species.
Because I haven't seen any in New York City.
No. Poor sloth in New York City. Too loud for a sloth. The sloth is an animal that needs silence, needs to be quiet. Is an animal that is the pura vida, you know, it's like the
pura
symbol
vida,
of pura vida.
Pure life.
That means pure life, just, I'm a hippie style life, like, yes, those sloths look like this.
And they live in the trees?
They live in the trees, but we have these two species, one that is three fingers in the hand, and the other one is two fingers in the hand, is why it's thick. They are called, like, three tortoise sloth and two tortoise sloth. But both are very different. Both are different families, completely different. So the three toes is like slower, and the two toes is faster. But well, both lives in the tree, are eating leaves, and that life that,
and they're not,
you know,
bothering anybody.
No, the camouflage is their big success, and that's it.
Okay, so the big dogs come.
Yeah, because the sloth needs to come down every week, more or less, to defecate it. Yeah, the digestive system is very, like, complicated. The metabolism is very slow.
So all week they don't poop?
Well, actually they poop every 3 weeks,
every
more or less.
Every 3 weeks?
So more or less every 3 weeks they come down, or sometimes every two or whatever.
And that's on the high fiber diet.
Yes. They have these four stomachs. They start to eat a lot of leaves, but the process for digest that is very, very slow. So when they come down is when the dogs get them.
They just get them and kill them, eat them?
Kill them. They never eat them. Mm-hmm. If not, it's just they shake it. Sometimes shake it is enough for kill them, mostly when they are babies. Because those sloths, they don't have a lot of muscles.
Sure.
So their organs are very, very superficial. They are very close to outside. So at least we have the muscles that protect us. But the sloths, no.
So what's the solution?
The solution is very hard, very hard. I'm trying to do meetings with the government that they have the responsibility about it and put strong laws. I think is the only solution. We are trying to do campaigns with the people in the community. Always we publish in our Facebook and everywhere. We do education. But it's very complicated because sometimes people just answer you like, it's not my problem.
Sure.
If the sloth come down inside my property, so I need the dogs for protect.
Does the sloth do anything beneficial for the environment?
Oh, yes. A lot. A lot. So the sloth, for example, is a good, like, spread the seeds.
They spread seeds.
Spread seeds.
Is that when they defecate?
When they defecate.
Okay, so they're chewing all this stuff up and then they poop and the seeds get spread.
Because they do like a little hole with a tiny tail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Uh-huh.
And they cover the poo. Mm-hmm. And it's why they are returning back to the seeds to the soil.
Any specific kinds of seeds that they're helping?
A lot of different species. They eat a lot of different species of trees, yes.
Mm, we need them.
Yes.
Are they endangered at all?
Nobody knows exactly because there's not much studies about the sloths. So in Costa Rica, the quantity of biodiversity that we have is still kind of unknown. A lot of animals. Even if now the sloth is like super fancy animal, and everybody's coming to my center mostly for sea sloths. They've been crazy for a while. Mm-hmm. They are cute. I want to see a sloth. I want a picture with the sloth and blah, blah, blah. But it's not a lot of seriously research about it.
Right. Are they friendly?
Do you have any
sloth friends?
Yeah, I have sloth friends because I have a lot of orphan babies, a lot. So they are so cute when they born at the center, more or less born means that when they've been raised at the center, they are super nice. Mm-hmm. But the sloth is one of the most dangerous animal if you try to get it when it's wild. Mostly the two toes, the fangs, the teeth are huge and amazing. Mm-hmm. They are fast and the claws are wow. I got one of my worst accidents in my hand. Was a sloth bite.
But they don't bite the dogs enough.
Yeah, the dogs sometimes they bite, and the dog get hurts. But you know, not enough.
I
think people need to get the responsibility to educate the dog. I have one dog, even if it's like a street dog. You know,
it's a nice dog.
But she's very nice. The monkeys can jump on her. Yeah. The birds can just stop on her head. And
dogs can be taught to know who their friends are.
Yes, of course.
Sure. Just like humans can be taught.
and cats maybe is worse because the quantity of lizards, butterflies, colibris, snakes, frogs that they eat every night is horrible.
Wow, the cats eat all of those.
They are going to finish with the biodiversity.
Foreigners are bringing their cats or just everybody?
Everybody. And it's no control. The castration, for example, no control. So the reproduction of cats and dogs there is a disaster.
Sure. I know there are some frogs that are facing extinction. What are some of the things that cats are eating that are struggling?
Well, the cats probably are worse than dogs because the quantity of animals that a cat is able to eat in one night is amazing. So they are felines, you know, they are hunting constantly. Wow. All the animal that is moving, their instinct is just hunt.
Is there anything that they eat that's good for them to eat, that we want them to eat?
No. That is nature. I think nature and, you know, it needs just to be by themselves. So
sure.
No, we don't need the cats there.
You're listening to this program, which is called It's All About Food. And this is a moment where we're talking about food. It's not exactly the food that I like to eat. but we have to acknowledge that there are animals out there that eat other animals. Humans don't have to eat other animals, exactly. Know that. And do any animals really have to eat other animals? I mean, I look forward to, I'm not a religious person, I don't believe in the Bible, but I love that phrase, when the lion lies down with the lamb, we all live peacefully on the planet, and the animals don't have to eat each other.
Uh-huh.
Maybe yeah, that'll happen one day,
too.
But meanwhile,
too, yes.
Meanwhile, cats are eating a lot of snakes and frogs and...
Yeah, it's a disaster. Just if you have a cat, just feed it with store food. I don't know, with cat food, you know.
Well, but cat food in a package, that has a lot of issues too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So maybe,
yeah.
So what are your solutions?
I think the solutions, the first will be that the government do a castration program for control the population of cats and dogs. And then put laws that... Absolutely, big dogs should be forbidden in this area. For me, that is completely necessary.
And how's the government responding so far?
For the moment, they don't respond.
Yeah, this is not our problem.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's like they don't have the resources, they don't have nothing. So it's something that we'll have to face too.
So we have electrocution, we have dogs and cats.
Uh-huh.
Both of these problems are human-related.
Yes, and the other ones too.
Yeah, so what else
mostly
do we have? Yeah.
So animals hit by cars.
Oh.
Every time is worse because our roads are growing. It's all the country is growing. Costa Rica is very now fancy, and a lot of people, you know, wants just to get their little house or, you know, their residence, second residence, and blah, blah, blah. So they need electricity. They need another road. All the problems that are related.
Sure, I'm thinking about the first times I visited Costa Rica. That was back in 2004.
Oof, changed a lot.
And so much has happened. And most of the main roads, public roads, were full of potholes. Big holes. There was no way you could go fast.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking maybe that was a good thing.
Yes, I'm agreeing completely. I always thought that everybody was fighting for get a nice, super nice, like kind of highway and blah. And they say no. A lot of not just animals, if not persons, are getting killed every day, and because the people is going super fast. And I always say that the way for arrive to paradise needs to pass for. Como se dice, the infierno?
Hell.
The hell.
Inferno and
you know,
hell.
Inferno
yes.
And hell.
It's a
so...
funny thing because many people fall in love with places like Costa Rica because of its beauty, because of its nature, because it's relatively untouched.
Exactly.
But then we want all our conveniences
yeah.
and we bring all our shit with us.
Yeah. That has been the problem. Local people was fine, you know, more or less with their conditions. But then people from Europe or America, maybe they arrive there and they are not happy with it's hot, there are a lot of mosquitoes, they have lizards inside a house, or
we
they have animals, they have bats, they want Wi-Fi, if not they get crazy one day without Wi-Fi and they get completely crazy. Or they want, of course, the car in front of the door of the house. And they want everything. So
yeah.
I think it's better that you stay in New York or in Barcelona because it's not that
yeah,
place.
Yeah, stay in
the
New York and Barcelona and come and visit.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Or do like I did. I bought 40 acres and I've done nothing.
Exactly.
It's just there.
Yeah.
And if
that
I ever do anything...
That is an amazing contribution for conservation and for nature.
Thank you.
That is. Yes.
If I ever do anything, it'll be a small little something with a solar panel.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing in electrical lines or anything. That's
or you
thoughts.
Could do it with responsibility,
yeah.
at least, now that you know that the cables need to be isolated.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for that. Okay. So we're talking about all the things that affect the animals and how you're protecting them. I'm just going to take a little detour here.
I will still have another one in Portugal.
Okay. We'll get there. But
yeah,
I want to
okay.
talk. We're still on the subject of roads. So the roads have been, a lot of main roads have been paved.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. Countries like China have come in and invested a lot in
yes,
Costa Rica
yeah.
and helped
uh-huh.
pave the roads. What are they doing?
I think Costa Rica is in the hands of Chinese and Americans. Chinese and Americans. Yeah, it's not anymore Costa Rica. So they are selling all the country to them. So Chinese are everywhere. They are, yes. building all the roads, they are buying cars for the police, they are...
But I don't see a lot of Chinese people there.
Well, yeah, see.
You do?
There are, yes, in Limon area, there
they're
are
not in the,
a big
they're
community.
They're not in the jungle where I hang out.
Yeah. But there are quite, yes.
Okay, and they're growing a lot of palm trees, monocropping, things like that.
Yeah, monocropping about, for example, pineapples. Pineapples and bananas are the worst. Bananas mostly, you know, because they are using pesticides. Mm. That is another reason that the animals arrive to the center completely poisonous.
Is this the last topic?
No, maybe there could be another one.
There's a lot of them. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, pesticides, herbicides.
Pesticides, yeah. You have to think that in Costa Rica, I've been using pesticides that are forbidden in Europe and in Americas. Since 50 years ago. So
why is it allowed?
It is allowed, and the people that is working there, they got cancer, and
sure.
Everybody knows.
Okay, I am horrified. I know about
yes.
it, but I'm horrified that we have banned certain pesticides and herbicides in this country, and then the companies go off and sell them to other countries. We should
yes.
not be allowed to do that.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
If someone from Costa Rica is here, but I will never eat a banana that comes from Costa Rica.
Unless it's organic.
Exactly, at least
okay.
it's organic. Organic, okay. Yes. I'm giving to my monkeys and all my animals organic food, and all is organic.
Mm-hmm.
Even the chickens, that of course we need for the felines. The chicken are happy till the last moment. They've been killed nicely. And always we say, sorry, you are going to serve to these felines that they are very endangered. So all is organic. All that, for me, is very important. And it's the first respect for the animals that I have at home.
Okay, so what was the other thing you wanted to bring up?
That a lot of babies that I have, mostly babies, they were pets. So people have animals,
baby, what?
Baby monkeys, mostly baby sloths, baby whatever. People keep their homes as pets.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's funny, it's just because they're nice.
And then what happens?
They put a leash on, and then they forget. A lot of them, of course, they die because it's complicated to raise them. They are very, wildlife is very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are not dogs and cats that you could feed.
They're not domesticated.
Once a day, and that's it. They
mm-hmm.
need very special, mostly they're very special, you know.
Care.
Like, yeah,
and
care.
Attention.
Exactly, and attention. So a lot of them, sometimes the best is that they die, and other, when they arrive to the center, they are in, I had to see horrible things. So animals keep us pets in a tiny cage for 5-6 years,
oh.
and you say, why? Or in a leash for 26 years, the last one that I have, Paco, is my love now, is in a spider monkey, super... old, is almost with no teeth, super gentle, but the body is like deformed because has been with the leash for 26 years.
I
can understand.
What I
want
to do
cruelty.
To those people that have
that
been
is,
so cruel.
Yes. The cruelty is, one of the, well, I don't know, it's just horrible. I just don't get it.
Let's talk more about monkeys. So one of the thrills about going to Costa Rica is hearing the howler monkeys, maybe seeing them. Can you tell me about them?
Well, to me, I must still get not used after 18 years to hear the monkeys every morning in my yard.
Yeah, it's like 4
so
or 5
it's
in the morning.
Something, yeah, it's something like 5 in the morning. My monkeys are gentle, that they start 5 at least. Well, and not just my monkeys, if not the monkeys from the forest or the wild ones. And is something just heartbreaking. You can feel the power of the jungle, you know, with that sound. You can feel that they are happy.
Yeah, it's like a roar almost. It's like, oh,
yeah.
I can't do it. Obviously, I'm not a howler monkey.
Yes.
But what are they doing when they
well,
do that?
Well, the howlers, they are very friendly animals, so they prefer to be loud and fight with other males. So every morning they say, like, I'm here. And now the studies say that maybe they are getting information. They are giving information to other troops. It's like, I'm here, that is going to be my tree. I'm going to do that this morning. I will go to that way, and blah, blah, blah. And they share information. And the other group, even if it's, 1-2 kilometers far away, they know exactly how powerful is that male, how many females are in the group, if it's a big group or not, where are gonna be during the day. So yeah, mostly they share information.
And they do all of that without the internet.
Exactly, with a Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. It's Howler-fi.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, it's magical.
It's magical, it is. For me, really is the most beautiful sun ever in the world.
Are they experiencing any challenges, the Howlers, other than humans encroaching on their territory?
Well, yes. Now, one of the last papers that we saw say that because of the pesticides, they are turning yellow. So you can see a lot of howlers that they used to be black, and they have just kind of brown in both sides. You see that the arms or the legs are completely yellow. And that is because of the kind
the
of mutation. Yeah, the poison in their blood. And another problem that they have to face is like consanguinity. That, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's Spanglish. It's like, you know, they being separated, the populations, because we are construction roads. Yeah. And so the populations are fractured, you know. And they cannot be in love with other animals far away because they cannot cross.
Right.
So they get like...
So they're like, there's like incest.
It's
not,
like that.
There's not enough diversity in their population.
Exactly. Not diversity in their genes. Mm-hmm. And then they get sick with kind of mutations or diseases.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, humanity. And what about the boars? So where my property is, there's people that like to hunt. They like to hunt boars. And there are signs everywhere that say no hunting. Are you friends with any boars? The big pigs?
Pigs. See, I have two, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have deers, we have boars, that they are one of the most precious animals for the hunters. Is why we have it. So we have Chanchi and we have Sisi. Both are, yeah, wild pigs. And they are living at the center because Chanchi, the hunters killed the mom.
Yeah.
And she arrived at the center just newborn. Oh. And of course, now is like following me, following everybody as a dog. And it's not possible to release an animal that like this, you know. But she's very happy around the center. And Sisi, we had to remove all the jaw because had like kind of cancer. Mm. And now is with the tongue like this. It looks like a kind of silly, but she's super fine now around the center as well.
So the wild pigs,
yeah,
are they friendly or they're you kind of want to stay away from them?
It depends. For example, Sisi is more friendly than Chanchi.
But they Chanchi are friendly, grew up with you.
Yeah. But is I don't know why exactly Sisi arrived when was adult. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if she appreciated a lot that we saved her life and understood or what. But she's super nice.
Yeah.
And Chanchi is a spoil. And Chanchi is super fine with me, with the people that is very close. But it's a little bit mean with other persons. So, yeah, we need to take care.
Any other animals we should talk about?
And the deers that I have my princess Chai. Chai arrived, inside a shoes box as Bambi.
Yeah.
You know, with the white spots, with umbilical cord, and the same hunters killed the mom.
Oh.
And she's so beautiful creature. She's just the sweetest
animal. Did the
animal.
Hunter bring you the baby?
No, a neighbor of the hunter.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a problem with deer in Costa Rica?
Deer is a national mammal. And they are endangered. The white-tailed deer, yeah, in Costa Rica is endangered. Not in other countries in America, but in Costa Rica, yes.
Because people hunt them?
Because people hunt them, and they almost were extinguished.
Somebody's dingy, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so we have deer too. I don't think I've ever seen a deer in Costa Rica.
Yeah, it's kind of popular, but yeah.
But they're endangered.
They are endangered.
Maybe that's why.
Exactly. And then they are not easy to see. They are a little bit smaller than the deers in America because they live inside the jungle. So they get adapted to another size.
Okay. So if people come to visit you, what can they do?
They can do a tour. So we offer two tours, 9:30 or 11:30 in the morning, and they can visit all our yard, all our center around. So they are gonna see sloths, babies, sloths, adults, sloths, medium, all different kind of sloths. We have a lot. Monkeys, three species of monkeys, the deers and the toucans and the snakes and crocodiles and owls and wildcats and everything. And our professional tour guides, they are gonna talk about every animal there, every story. You know, why the animals are there, what is the chance for them to be released or not, why the animal is there. Then we have our hospital, that if you do a private tour in the afternoon, that we accept just two every afternoon, you will be more a little bit like, you know, it's more for animal lovers, so very crazy animal lovers, because you can spend like 2.5 hours with me in a hospital, talking maybe with a doctor, go to the kitchen, feed some animals. It's a little bit more full experience, more in deep.
Okay, can we talk a little bit about food?
Yeah.
While we're here, because this of show course. Focuses a bit on food.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in Costa Rica. What do you eat?
I eat veggies and fruits mostly.
I love the fruits in Costa Rica. You were talking about the things that you feed your animals, and everything's organic, which is beautiful.
Yes.
Do you have a garden? Do you grow anything?
I have a garden. We try to grow, but actually there are a guy that comes with a camion and, you know,
a truck.
A truck, yes. Uh-huh. Because it's a lot of animals, so it will be impossible just with our own yard or our own. And then a lot of animals, they eat leaves, because we have a lot of monkeys and sloths. So I have one person that, Diego, that is a super beautiful guy. He's Bribri, he's indigenous. And he knows a lot about different plants. So he's in charge to go every day for look for branches. All different kinds of branches and leaves and seeds and all natural. You know, almonds at in the beach or for birds and a lot of different kinds of.
He makes
fruit.
It easy for the animals. He gets all their branches and leaves.
Yeah. It's not easy for him every day. Get out. Well, normally with a couple of volunteers, and it's one of the most important jobs for the volunteers, go and get the natural fruit that the animals need. If we want to teach them how to be wild again, they need to eat natural food.
Mm-hmm. Costa Rica in some ways is very progressive. They seem to have some progressive policies. Do you know where they are with genetically modified food, for example?
I don't know a lot about it, but I know that Costa Rica in this sense, yes, is very progressive. So it's trying to do best sometimes in this kind of things, but sometimes I hear news, you know, about that. But I think they still have to do a lot. I feel that it's a country that should be more brave in front of the rest of the world. Like saying no plastics. For example, I'm trying to fight against plastic in my town. It's crazy. I think the politicians should be super brave. You know, they are kind of cowards for me. That they don't say, okay, no more plastics here. There are a lot of things that they could do.
Yes.
And they should.
I agree. I think politicians could be more courageous everywhere,
exactly.
Especially here in the United States. And that's where more women are needed, because women are a lot braver in general.
Yes, you're right.
We're seeing some of that happen within our own government with a lot of young women that are getting involved, which is very exciting. Women have more balls than men.
Oh, yes. Actually, we are a woman team. At the Jawa Rescue Center. We have boys, but women we command.
Yes. All right. Do you have a website?
I have a website.
What is it?
Jawa Rescue Center.
Jaguar Rescue Center.
Yeah, that foundation.
That foundation. JaguarRescueCenter.foundation. So if you want to learn more about everything we just talked about, that's where
go
you
there,
find it.
Or Jaguar Facebook
Rescue Center. Oh, you have a Facebook page too.
We have Facebook, we have Instagram.
All the social stuff.
You just Google Jaguar Rescue Center and you will get in everything.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so we know where we can find you. But before we go, I want to know a little bit more about the philosophy of your organization.
Well, our first goal is release the animals. So I really don't want a rescue center. So my dream will be that one day I don't have to exist and see all the animals free, happy, with no more accidents. But of course, that is just a dream. But in many times, I try to save all of them and I try to release all of them, because every life is important. Every life that all the gens that can you put at the forest again is very, very important. And for to do that, we need a forest. So because without a forest, without a primary forest, is no place, is no home for animals. It's why we are trying to buy La Ceiba property that is 4 kilometers far away from our center, and is why we create that foundation, La Ceiba Primary Forest Foundation.
This property is a primary forest?
It's a primary forest, yes. It's connected with a corridor, biological corridor that goes to Panama. So animals there are happy, no roads, no electricity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes hunters and dogs get in, but we try to, to control that. It's very, very, very important to keep that forest healthy, because if not, my job is not going to work. So I can save all the animals in the world, but if then they die again in another place, is something stupid.
Mm-hmm. What's in a primary forest that you can't find in a secondary forest or another forest?
To me, walk inside a primary forest, it's just trees and the lianas, the veins, the quantity of life just that you are stepping on while are you walking is just amazing. The sounds, the smell, everything. I always feel that the trees are raking you when you are inside. Your energy, you can see the energy. You know that all the trees are connected in a primary forest. So you have to think that there are veins that they walk around the jungle for kilometers. Actually, nobody knows exactly how much biodiversity probably is in a primary forest.
Yeah, we're losing life every day. Different species go extinct all the time, and we have no idea.
Yeah, at La Ceiba, we discover frogs, new species, with lizards, insects, rare insects, and it's something amazing.
And we can't create a primary forest.
Not yet, I don't think so. Yeah. So if we destroy that is the last in the planet.
It's just going to take another few million years.
Probably, but it's going to be, because it's very fragile, the primary forest. So all is very superficial. So if you destroy that, it's going to take thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Thousands of years, yes.
Tell me a nice story. Story about the monkeys.
Well, about the monkeys, I have a lot of story, but maybe I would like to introduce you to our philosophy, the way that we are able to release them. That is not easy. So I really believe that animals can be released if you teach them, because not a lot of people believe that. Some people think that if you have a tiny monkey that has been a pet for 6 months, then it's going to be impossible to release because it's very attached to humans and blah, blah, blah. Well, we don't believe that. We teach them to be wild again and how. So we take the monkeys every day, every day at 8 in the morning. We walk for almost 2 kilometers far from the center and we release them free. And they go up to the trees. Mm. The big ones help the little ones. The big ones adopt the little ones sometimes. So just we stay there all day, watching them, taking care of them in case they need us. But they just enjoy the trees and the forest. We do that every single day. At 3 in the afternoon, we go back to the forest and we call them. And everybody is waiting at 3 o'clock. It's amazing how they know. It's like, you know, when you go in front of the school, you know,
your kids are waiting for parents.
They get fun all day and
they want their snacks.
And they want, exactly, they want the snacks. They want to be back home because they are still young. But when they are teenagers, then all change. Mm-hmm. They discover the sex. They get in love with the wild monkeys and they don't want to come back home. Mm-hmm. So even if you cry them, like, come on home. It's like, I don't want to be back with you, mommy. I want to stay. I have now one, Mika. that, well, I just texted now the sender just an hour ago, and they say me that it's the third night that she's by herself at the forest.
Oh.
So probably I'm not gonna see her anymore. Mm-hmm.
The ones that you released, do you ever see them again? Do
they ever, sometimes, like, sometimes when they get in trouble, they're amazing. How smart are they? Because they never go to other houses, or mm-hmm. if not, they know the way how to come back to the center. And they come back with, well, just happened one time with Coco, that had a big injury in the leg and needed surgery.
Oh.
And, well, was back for 5 months, and then mm-hmm. we release again. Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And I have one conga that was released like 8 years ago. Is living with a troop that is living around the center, and she's coming every time they get pregnant. To show me the baby.
Oh,
is amazing.
Yes,
she's amazing. Oh. We got a strong connection. It was my second howler monkey in 2008. Well, my connection with her and her connection with me, I think, is something astonishing. Something,
yes,
yeah.
I love that. Well, Ankar Villa Garcia, thank you so much for joining me. It's been wonderful
thank
chatting
you
with you and learning about all the work you've been doing.
That was Ankar Garcia Villa of the Jaguar Rescue Center. And I just loved that interview. I learned so much, and I hope you did too. And I can't wait the next time I go to Costa Rica to try and get to the Caribbean side and visit Ankar and all of the sloths and monkeys and other friends that she has there. And I hope you will take the time to get there sometime soon as well. The heat is here in New York City, and if you've been following me for a few months, you know that my building in Queens has been undergoing some exterior work, which is mandated by a local law here, and it's been horrendous, especially when it's hot. It's terrible because there are people drilling outside, creating lots and lots of dust and lots of noise. And when they drill, you don't want to have the windows open. Even with the windows closed, there's a tremendous amount of dust. And that dust isn't particularly good to get inside our bodies. Some of it is from the cement, and cement has silicon in it. And silicon can cause tremendous problems when we're breathing in a lot of dust that contains it. I'm not happy about this. Now, this is supposed to protect problems with the exterior of the building, pieces falling on people and harming people, hurting people. I support that. I just wish there was a better way. I'm not complaining. Yeah, I am complaining. But I know it could be worse. I could have been in some parts of Europe this week where instead of highs of 90, they had highs of 110 degrees Fahrenheit. I feel like we're getting a little practice for the future. A hotter future. And I'm one of these people who believe it's not too late to make a difference. It's not too late to take control of this complex environment that we live in. And the first thing all of us can do right away today to make a tremendous difference is what, everybody? Come on, let me hear it. It's to eat a whole food, plant-only diet, a vegan diet. If we stop breeding and raising animals for food and growing all the food, monocropping most of it, to make animal feed to feed animals to feed people. All of the processes that are involved to get flesh on people's plates and to get cheese and milk on the dinner table have a tremendous impact on the climate. And it's not good. It's negative. And we can all make those changes today. Am I a broken record? Perhaps. Now, I want to point out that I use the phrase plant only. And I'm going to give a shout out to Maria, who sent me a very passionate message in response to my brief little conversation a couple of weeks ago on the phrase plant-based. I've been thinking a lot about the phrase plant-based and what it means and what it doesn't mean. And I think I'm going to use her phrase from now on, plant-only. It's a lot clearer when I'm referring to eating a plant-only diet. Because plant-based has a lot of range, a lot of leeway, and it's not clear as to how many plants or what percentage of plants you're consuming when you say you're eating a plant-based diet. And I like being clear. How about you? Now, meanwhile, it's hot. Did I say it was hot? It's so hot. I don't have air conditioning on. I don't like to use air conditioning. I do have a small one in the bedroom for when it becomes extremely humid and painful. But now that we have this exterior work going on, I'm not touching the air conditioner until the work people are gone and I can give that air conditioner a thorough cleaning out. But meanwhile, it's hot and I can't open the windows. What can we do? I'm dunking my head a lot in the sink. Wet hair is very convenient to provide a natural cooling system because as the water evaporates, we feel cool. It works very nicely. It doesn't help if you've had your hair blown dry and straightened by an iron, but I figure in the summertime, it's really hard to keep oneself perfectly coiffed unless you go from an air-conditioned home to an air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned office and an air-conditioned anything. But once you're out in the natural environment, it's really hard. I'm not giving up, but lately, what I've been using on my hair to kind of keep it in control after I've wet it. I know I'm going to be seeing the public. My latest favorite is shea butter. I was using coconut oil for a while. I've moved on. I'm in love with shea butter. I just take a little teeny bit, less than a pea, rub it in my hands until it's all smooth because it's solid at room temperature. It's soft but solid. And then I just spread little bits of it all over my hair. I have curly hair, so it works. And then I crunch it. That's my secret to fabulous summertime hair. But I really am into wetting my hair and sitting and doing my work because I work at home in this very hot, hot environment. And then hydration. Hydration is so important all year long. The elderly specifically have a problem with dehydration and don't drink enough, but we all need to drink. I like to drink water. You know I love my distilled water. Water is a whole nother subject, and we keep hearing about disasters all over the place with water, people who don't have enough, people who have systems that are not well maintained, and there's toxic things leaking into their water. It's a scary time, isn't it? I have my distiller, and I trust my distiller. I also have a little charcoal filtration before I put the water in the distiller, and this gives me wonderful clean tap water. We bottle a lot of it and put it in the refrigerator, and it's there to drink. And now that summer is here, I like to make my little refreshing summer cocktails. I have lemon juice and ginger juice that I've frozen into little cubes. I can put them in my plain water. That's really nice. Or then making my own tea blends. So in the summertime, I like using a little hibiscus, maybe a little mint and lemon for a blend. It's fun. It's fun to mix them up and make different flavored, refreshing drinks. They're really refreshing. Keep hydrated in the hot weather. And then in the evening, my absolute favorite treat when I'm wanting a dessert is fruit soft serve. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. It's perfect every time. And you have to know that when you're enjoying this treat, it tastes wonderful. It tastes sweet. And there's nothing bad about it. It is guilt-free and fabulous. So what I like to do, it really helps to have a high-powered blender. And if you don't, there are other appliances. There's the Yonanas, which is a less expensive unit that can take frozen fruit and spin it up into soft serve. There's a variety of different ones out there. I'm fortunate I have a refurbished Vitamix. We use it every day and it's really perfect for this type of thing. Typically I take a frozen banana, some frozen strawberries or mixed berries. I'll add a small amount of plant milk just to get things going, unsweetened. And perhaps I'll add a little cocoa powder, a little vanilla extract sometimes. It depends on the flavor that I'm looking for. The last time I made it, I added a little tahini. I'm nuts about tahini. Or perhaps I should say I'm seedy about tahini, because tahini is made from sesame seeds. It just makes such a wonderful treat. And that's one of the things I love about hot summertime are these fruit soft serves. I'd like to remind you that at responsibleeatingandliving.com, that's the nonprofit I co-founded, we have so many recipes, and I'm always happy and excited to share recipes with people who are looking for them, and then I tell them we have just what they're looking for, and it makes them happy. So maybe some of these will make you happy. If you go to the homepage, responsibleeatingandliving.com, on the right-hand side, towards the bottom, is an index of all of the recipe categories. We have an Independence Day summer category, and there's lots of recipes. I'm scrolling through it right now, and I'm remembering some old friends. The sweet potato bean salad. This is great for a picnic, great to bring to a party. It's cool and creamy and yummy and nutritious, tastes rich, and it's only made with whole plant foods. And then there's the fresh fruit tart, and I have two versions. One is a classic fresh fruit tart with a creamy vanilla custard and a crust, and the crust can be made gluten-free. It's gorgeous. And then I have a raw version, and I think I love the raw version even better. And it's great for the 4th of July. It's red, white, and blue. It's fresh, fantastic. And I'm so glad that I'm looking at these recipes right now, because I almost forgot about this one, and I have to make it. I have to make it soon. We have a papaya avocado salsa, a creamy kale pesto, which you can serve cold, and a variety of different soft serve recipes. Of course, you can come up with your own. One of my favorites is the orange creamsicle ice dream, I call it. Really yummy. And then if you want to make a treat has a little hidden nutrition in it, I have the Popeye sweet sensation, where I blend in a little frozen spinach along with the fruits. That's really good. And if you don't have a high power blender, that's okay. You can make all of these recipes like a thick smoothie. I get excited about these things. I get excited about food that's yummy and fresh and cool when you're hot. There's so many different things that you can make to enjoy. I hope you visit Responsible Eating and Living sometime and see what we have for you. In the meantime, for those of you who are doing something special for Independence Day here in the United States, July 4th, I hope you have a good one. Stay cool and have a delicious week.